Well, you're coming in here with crutches and your son's here helping you out. What's going on?
I snapped the tendon going from my thigh into my knee a couple weeks ago, and so I'm moving at half pace here with crutches.
Now, Brittany got in my ear and said, you made your wife mad. Don't do that again.
I'll remember to say yes, dear, from now on.
All right, we got a menagerie of things to talk about, and I appreciate you coming in, especially with your physical condition. It's such a challenge. Let's talk about the casino. I know you wanted to, you always do your homework and you think back to what you said and what you might have not said or might have not added. I know you had some information to add about that, but you got a chance to see and hear all the hubbub about casino in Lansing.
Well, we were talking yesterday and you asked me about the casino, and I mentioned that I've always had concerns about casino because I think it brings in a negative element such as prostitution, drugs, and I think you'll see the bankruptcy rate rise in the greater mid-Michigan area because of people gambling. And I think it actually costs the community a lot more than it usually provides. You'll see increased police protection, a liability for the city of Lansing. I worked a lot with a Dr. Robin Widgery when the city of Flint was thinking of putting in a casino. And he's a retired professor from the University of Michigan Flint campus. And his study showed that actually it doesn't really help a local community. Most of the money stays within the actual casino itself. The Indian tribes here that'll build it will make the money, and the money will stay within it. Now, obviously, some will be reinvested. That's part of a public relations. Any business will do that, so will a casino. But it's not necessarily the way to turn the city around.
What about Battle Creek? What about Mount Pleasant? They've got it.
And they have lots of problems that come with that. And they're also reinvesting. You know, the casino up there in Mount Pleasant is also adding to it. And it can be, there's definitely a positive spin to it, but I think there's also a negative spin to it.
Okay, but is that fair that they have it and it shouldn't be here in the middle of the state?
Competition can be good. I have a feeling in listening to the news yesterday that it'll be a long way from happening. I think there's a lot of legal hurdles they'll have to overcome.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, not only through the tribal, they've got to get through city council, and then they've got to go through federal authority. So
U.S. Department of Interior.
There's a lot
to be
done.
Yeah. 2 years is probably a little optimistic on the mayor's part when he said no construction.
And no one mentioned exactly how it was going to be paid for.
I'm sure the tribe will pay for that. From that perspective, that won't be a liability on the city.
All right. Now, when I talk to people about the bridge and a proposed bridge from Detroit to Windsor, I always use you as an individual who said, okay, we want to make sure that no tax dollars are used for this, and we want to make sure that no one comes before the House or the Senate and says, We got it wrong. We need some cash. We need some help here because there is no, as far as you're concerned, statistical data showing that we'll be able to get the toll revenues needed to pay Canada back.
The skepticism within the legislature, and the Mackinac Bridge is a good example, Tony. And if you look at the press that took place and the promises that took place, the Mackinac Bridge was going to be paid for 100% with tolls. Within 1 year of the bridge opening, the general fund of the state of Michigan was asked to pay part of the operating costs of the bridge, approximately $415,000 a year, which they did for the next 20 years. I think altogether, the general fund paid about $50 million toward the construction and maintenance and operation of the Mackinac Bridge. And the concern is the same thing will happen with the NITSE Bridge down the road. Nobody has pledged Canada nor the federal government to make what is called the availability payments. And that would be the difference between toll revenue and the bond payments and the operational cost. That's something nobody really wants to talk about. And the example I used yesterday was here in Lansing, through a different act, Act 31, the city of Lansing 20 years ago set up an authority for the Lansing Center and for the baseball park downtown. And now that the city's in trouble, they're having a hard time making the subsidy payment to the authority for the bond payments and the operational cost.
Now, if I heard the governor clearly, he told me that the payments for the bridge, if they weren't coming in where they thought that the loan time payment could be extended, that would cover the costs.
We can always extend bond payments. We can always extend the loan agreement. That's for the $550 million Canada will loan us for the plaza and then for the complete reconfiguration of I-75 to connect it directly to the bridge entrance. And that'll be paid back with toll revenue, if there's enough toll revenue. And if we have to, then we can extend it. But also keep in mind, we have the operational cost. We also have the community benefits program, which everybody is promising. And that's another roughly $100 million. If there's not enough money for all that, who then makes that availability payment? That's the one piece that is never really dealt with.
Can the governor say, well, you know, Representative Opsomer and the rest of the folks that you work with in the Senate, I'm going to get this bridge done, and I don't need your help to do that. Can he do that?
He has made that comment. The lieutenant governor has made that comment. I would find it difficult to figure out how he would want to do that legally.
So from your perspective, there's no way that that's possible.
It would be difficult, but if he does do that, then we change the discussion. We're no longer talking about a bridge. We're talking about the Michigan Constitution and the obligations the legislature has and the obligations of the executive branch and how we work together.